Would you turn with me please to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Lord would enable us. We might consider together verse 6. 2 Timothy 2 verse 6. The husbandman that laboureth, or the labouring husbandman, must be first partaker of the fruits. That would be a more direct translation. The labouring husbandman must be first partaker of the fruits. Paul here was encouraging Timothy in his work as an evangelist. And he does so by using three different images, metaphors. He uses that of the soldier, the athlete, and here, in the words of our text, the farmer, the husbandman of the farmer. The word husbandman is the word georgos, literally the worker in the earth, and therefore the farmer. And so the thought is of agricultural work, where someone is working in the earth. It's used in John 15, when it's dealing with the vine. You think of the vine dresser. I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. And it's used also for the one who is tilling the ground and producing the crops. And we find this being applied to the work of the ministry. We read of that in Luke chapter 10, where the Lord, in seeing the fields, could see the harvest truly is great, but the labourers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth labourers into the harvest. We've also got it, for example, in 1 Corinthians 9. But although it is, in the context, first and foremost applying to Timothy, surely this was written not merely for Timothy and for those who would be engaged in full time in the work of the ministry, but it can be applied to all of us. We've seen that when it comes to the soldier and the athlete. And we notice this now with the farmer. After all, in many ways, your own soul is like a field which is to be cultivated. You are to care for your own vineyard. And therefore, you are to keep your heart with all diligence. You are to tend your heart. You're to watch over yourself. You're to become fruitful in every good word and work. And especially, we are called to seek God's grace and help that we might bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. And so, here is a suitable text on a personal level, a reminder to us that the labouring husbandman must be first partaker of the fruits. Here's something to encourage us in the pursuit of sanctification, holiness. But we can see how it also applies to us in our everyday lives when we think of our witness before others. You may have a family. And if God has set you in a family and given you a family, then you have a vineyard, as it were, to cultivate. Every home, every Christian home, is like a church in a house. Our children are to be brought up for the Lord, and we have a witness to our children. And not only that, we are those who work in different places, or live in different communities, and we are those, therefore, who have a witness to bear by our actions and by our words. So So not only are we to tend for our own soul, we are to tend and care for the souls of others. We too, in a sense, are to look and to see the fields ready to harvest, that the harvest is plenteous, plentiful, but the labourers are few. And we are to seek to engage in that work in whatever level the Lord has called us. I'd like us to notice 7 things about this work that we might be encouraged and directed in this work as we think of the believer as a husbandman or a farmer. First of all, you'll notice this is arduous work. It is arduous work. It is not easy, light work. He says, and the first word is in the original, is the word labouring. The labouring husbandman must be first partaker of the fruits. The word labouring speaks of work which brings weariness. It speaks of that which, where a person is working to the point of exhaustion, where he is tired out in his work. He's applied himself with all his might. In the words of Paul, he has spent and is being spent in the work of the gospel. And therefore, there is a labouring to the point of weariness. You think of the farmer, he's been working all day in the fields, and at night he comes in tired and weary of his day's work. How unlike God. We're told he is the one who never grows weary. Isaiah 40, 28. He alone is the Almighty. As long as we're in this world, we will be subject to physical weariness and mental, and yes, there may be spiritual weariness as well. We may become weary in well-doing. We expend ourselves. God never does. Well, think of the work of cultivating the soul, the life of God in the soul of man. It is no easy thing to suppress sin. It is no easy thing to grow in grace. We face a threefold enemy against any attempt at spiritual things. There is the world. And the world around us tends to suffocate whatever spiritual life and desires and intentions we might have. There's the flesh, our own corruption within, our human nature, as it has been affected by sin, and even for God's people, though they have been delivered, though sin no longer has dominion over them, they are not free from sin. The flesh is still there. And Paul could complain that the flesh was lusting against the spirit, and there was a battle in his own soul. Do you know anything of that battle? Then you will know that there seems to be something within that makes it hard. It's like going around with dragging a heavy weight, and you're trying to overcome those sinful tendencies and dispositions. And of course, there's the powers of darkness, the devil, and he is ever active, seeking to discourage us. So, there are these enemies, and how easy it is for us to become slothful rather than diligent and arduous. It's not easy when you're going against the flow. It's not easy when you're standing up for truth and doing what's right and the world is going the opposite way. How difficult it is not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing influence of the Spirit and the Word. It takes labour. This is part of the problem, that sometimes we get one area of our life sorted out, then we find this sudden corruption arises elsewhere. It's interesting, in Revelation 2, in the letter to the church at Ephesus, we find that there was much that they were commended for. I know thy works, and thy labour, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast had patience for my name's sake, hast laboured, and hast not fainted. Twice this word labour is used. They were doing well against false doctrine, and they were striving after good works, to do what was right, and to be a good influence. They were bearing persecution. They hadn't fainted in their work. And yet, they had left their first love. There was so much that was right, but it was just a little thing, which wasn't so little actually, that they had missed out. Keeping close to Christ, keeping love for Christ glowing in a flame in their lives. They seem to have overlooked this. Isn't it difficult? Doesn't it take arduous work to cultivate our souls? We have to watch what we do. That's obvious. We have to watch our affections, our desires, our longings. We have to try and control our wills and bring our will into conformity to the will of God, to bring every thought subject and into captivity to Christ. We're striving to become fruitful in every good word and work. You think of how many sided the fruit, singular, of the Spirit is. Many sided fruit. And it's difficult to cultivate. But that's what you and I are called to do. Remember how he puts it in Ephesians 5. The fruit singular of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. It's difficult how we need to apply ourselves vigorously to be laborious in spiritual things, and you're not going to get far. Or we can think of how that arduous work is seen in our families and in our witness before others. We are to train our families in the ways of God. And it doesn't really matter what stage they're at. We need courage, we need discipline. We need to be always on top of things. We're there to be an encouragement, an example, a guide. And an arduous work. When you think of speaking to others, a word in season. Or of responding graciously when people offend us and hurt us. Of knowing when to point out a fault and when to keep quiet. Of how we're called to be helpful, to be kind, to do good to all men. How we need to take heed to ourselves. if we are going to take heed to the vineyard God has given us, that it might not be said of us, "Others' vineyards have I kept, but my own vineyard have I not kept." It's arduous work. A second thing. Constant work. Constant work. Farming is a way of life. You can't really be a part-time farmer. You tend to find that farmers don't go away on holiday. That's true today when, with all the help that there is compared to years ago. Perhaps you could paraphrase this as the always labouring farmer, because it's in the present tense, on and on. Well, isn't it true that we need to daily be watching our soul? Keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. We need to be daily in the means of grace. We need to have a daily discipline. How shall you and I grow in grace and in the knowledge of the truth? How shall we be strengthened to resist the attacks of the evil one? Is it not as we are daily in the things of God and daily praying and daily looking for God's help? Grace is one of these things that can't be stored up. It's a bit like the manna in the wilderness. It was good for the day, but it was no good for the next day. We need to be constantly in communion with God, constantly strengthened by Him. We need to be constantly watching ourselves and constantly cultivating our soul and feeding our soul. When you think of our witness, aren't we always praying for family, day in, day out? Oh Lord, bless them and draw them to thyself and keep them from danger, especially spiritual danger. We pray not only for them, we pray for others. Aren't you often looking for opportunities to witness? You're looking each day. There's that constant desire to be of spiritual use. How often you end up rebuking yourself when you look back and you see, well, I let opportunities slip by. I wasn't on top of things as I should have been. And especially when it comes to that constant witness that we are. Isn't it true the family are always watching you and ready to point out your faults? And the world might not point out your faults, but they're there to watch and point them out to themselves to justify their own irreligion and ignoring of the things of God. Let us remember there are no holidays in the Christian life. God's people have constant work to do. They are always labouring husbandmen. A third thing to note, the work is not only arduous and constant, it's repetitive. It's repetitive. Isn't it true that much husbandry, much farming in many ways is repetitive? There's a watching of things, there's a following the seasons, there is the seed time, and there is the harvest, and in between you've got dealing with pests on a daily basis, watching out for them, dealing with them when they arrive, or you think of the weeds constantly growing. Well, it's a reminder that the cultivation of our soul is in many ways a repetitive work. We end up doing the same things each day. Sometimes fighting the same temptations each day. But on the other hand, it's good to have that daily routine and that daily discipline. It's the doing of the same thing each day which will produce spiritual fruit in your soul. How many quacks have offered quick fix solutions? And they don't work. They fail. We need to be daily slogging away, labouring, because that's the way we shall grow in grace. And isn't it true that just as the weeds tend to resurface, so the temptations that you and I face, and they will be different for each one of us, these same temptations tend to resurface. Or some weeds are easy to deal with. There are other weeds which are very difficult to deal with. You get some ground elder in your garden, leave just a little bit of the root and it will grow again. The dandelion, if you don't get down and get the whole root out, it sprouts up again. It's a bit like sin. It's deep rooted in us. And it takes much work to root it out. And we have to be watching. We have to especially be watching for those sinful tendencies to reappear. You will have things that bother you that maybe don't bother me. And there will be things which bother me that don't bother you. Some are quick-tempered. Some are naturally proud. Some are perhaps naturally disposed to unbelief and to doubting or to be cynical. And you have to watch these things. We all have different problems. But we have to deal with these things as soon as they appear. If what happens if you don't? The little weed takes over, multiplies. Before you know it, you've got a field of weeds. Here we are, always needing to be looking, to be watching, dealing with things as soon as they appear, day in, dealing with the same things. Mortifying sin, killing it off before it kills us. Watching and praying. Never in this world shall we not find that as our daily call. Or you think of our witness to friends and family. Isn't it line upon line, precept upon precept? Here a little, there a little. Wondering what to say. And often we seem to say the same things. That's the way it is. That's the way we learn. Or do you think of us praying, watering those tears? Like the husbandman who has to daily water the vines. Or other things, so they might be fruitful when there seems the danger of drought affecting things. How often we are tempted to grow weary. But we must remember we are called to this laborious, repetitive work. A fourth thing, not only is repetitive, but it is patient work. Work that requires patience. If you like to see instant results, don't bother being a gardener, a farmer, because you don't see instant results. Often you see little fruit. It takes a while for a garden to mature. It takes time for the crops to develop. You think of how the Lord spoke of the man who sowed his seed, Mark 4:26. And he rises night and day, and he sees it growing, he doesn't know how, it's so slow, it's imperceptible. But then there's the blade, and then there is the ear in the blade, and eventually it becomes fruitful. It takes patience. That's brought out in James chapter 5. We have in verse 7, James says, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain." He sows his seed, but into the early rain, the heavy rain, as it would be in October time, say, in Palestine, to get things going. And then the gentle latter rains coming in March time, helping the fruit to swell just in time for the harvest. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. We have need of patience. If you think of the work of sanctification, remember, it's a long-term work. Some people get very frustrated because they don't see much progress in their lives, and they doubt whether there's any progress. And they forget that it's a long-term thing. If you ask the farmer, "How much did your wheat grow yesterday?" he'd look at you thinking you were mad. You don't measure it by day. But you can see the progress, perhaps in a week or a fortnight or a month. You slowly see it. And so it is with the work of sanctification. It's a long-term work. And yet perhaps initially there seems to be a great rush and boost. The obvious weeds of sin are removed from the garden of our soul. But then there's other things that just seem to be there continually. It's a long-term work. But you will see progress if you're realistic and ask, well, have I learnt more? Not just in the head, but in the heart, compared to what I knew a year, 5 years, or 10 years ago. I can see some maturity, but oh, there might still be a long way to go. Don't be discouraged. Be patient. The husbandman who's labouring is doing it daily, repeating things. He's needing to be patient because he knows this is a long-term project. And remember, that's true with your witness as well. Too often the devil tells you, just give up, stop praying, stop speaking. That person's fed up hearing what you have to say. Well, you have to be wise about how you speak, when to speak. There's a time to speak and time to be silent. We must remember these things. And we must also remember, Paul may plant, Apollos may water, but God alone gives the increase. It's God's work. You're to cultivate and look for God's blessing. Many forget that. They abandon God's methods, they try their own methods, and yet what might seem to be results, but often the results which at the end of the day do not produce spiritual fruit. Be patient. How often we have to be reminded of that. A fifth thing, here's a hopeful work. A hopeful work. Why does the husbandman labour? Well, he labours because he knows that he must be first partaker of the fruits. And he knows that by the blessing of God, there will be fruit. And so he sows. Why would he sow if he believed there was no hope of a harvest? You might as well eat the few little bits of grain you have. Don't bother sowing, because there's not going to be a harvest anyway, and therefore make good use of what you have rather than waste it on sowing. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:6, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. You don't sow much, you won't get much. He that sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. How many people lose out because they presume it's all going to be lost? It's a waste of time. What do we need? We need hope. Friend, has God not promised that as you cultivate your soul, you shall have success? This is the will of God, even your sanctification. There's God's will that you be sanctified. Are you not told? The God of peace shall sanctify you wholly. What wonderful statements. They remind us that it is God's plan and purpose to sanctify his people. They remind us, as we read in Proverbs 4, the path of the just is like a shining light, shining more and more, getting brighter and brighter until the perfect day, until it reaches high noon, as it were, shining in full brightness. God's people shall grow in grace and in knowledge of the truth. And one day, when they leave this world, they shall be made perfect in holiness. So what does that mean? Don't be saying, there's no point trying. I can't overcome this temptation. I will never have much faith or love or meekness, and therefore I won't bother striving after these things. Press on, looking to the Spirit to work in you and make you fruitful in the fruit of the Spirit. And what will be your witness? It's very easy to be thinking, God's not going to bless his work to friends, to family, to neighbours, to workmates. But remember, God's word is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. It shall not return to him void. See with the psalmist, that man who bearing precious seed and going forth doth mourn, he doubtless bringing back his sheaves rejoicing shall return. Did you hear that? Doubtless. Why doubt? And God has said, there shall be a harvest. And have you not covenant promises for your family? Can you not say, he is my God and promised to be my God and my children's God? Has he not said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved? Has he not told us to train up a child in the way that he shall go? And when he is old, he shall not depart from us, to train up that child, that he might be sent, like a plant trained up and sent in the right way. Lord, pour thy Spirit upon my seed, thy blessing upon my offspring. Isaiah 44:3. You said these things. Do these things. Now we know we all fail. And we know that there was a Jacob and an Esau. But we've been given encouragements that we might hope. And let us go on in hope and persevere. Sixth thing, Here is time-limited work. Time-limited work. The farmer knows that there's a time to sow and a time to reap. The sowing time is limited, as is the reaping time. And so, for example, the Lord, with having dealt with the woman of Samaria, could say to them, well, yes, it's 4 months until the harvest. But don't be saying that. Lord, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look in the fields, for they are white and ready, already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labour, other men laboured, and ye entered into their labours. Now's the time. Reap, he said, or the crop will perish. Sometimes there are not enough to bring in the harvest, and it rots in the field. In other words, now's the time to act. That's what he was saying. And yes, there are times when it seems there are more sowing times than reaping times. But on the other hand, let us be up and doing. Let us be aware continually. Now is the day to cultivate my soul. Now is the day to be concerned for others. I must be redeeming the time because the days are evil. I must walk in wisdom to those who are outside the church, redeeming the time. Your souls are perishing. I'll soon be gone. Now, I must seek to pluck some as brands from the fire. And what about our own lives? Well, what short lives to glorify God. Should it not be our determination to get God glorified in earth now? Wasn't that the spirit of Donald Cargill? What's all this to do with you covenanters? We'll get heaven, you'll get no more. Remember his response, we'll get more. We'll get Christ glorified in earth as well as heaven. Isn't that the Christian's desire? To glorify God now, so long as we live. Occupy till I come. Final thing is rewarding work. The husbandman that laboureth, or the labouring husbandman, must be first partaker of the fruits. It's appropriate that he should share in the fruits. Indeed, the law said this. And so, for example, in Deuteronomy 20 and at verse 6, we find it said, what man is he that hath planted a vineyard and hath not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle and another man eat of it. If you've just sown a, planted a vineyard, you are free from military duties. Because it was right that the man who planted should first partake of the fruits. Same as here. You get that expressed elsewhere. It's only right, it's only appropriate that there should be a reward. Doesn't that sustain the weary farmer, the hope of a harvest? And he'll get a share of the fruit. We can say that there's a present reward for God's people, as well as a future reward. Think of the ox treading out the corn. It wasn't to be muzzled. the labourer is worthy of his hire. In the middle of the work, never mind at the end of the day, he got something. Well, at least the ox did. Dear believer, as you cultivate the garden of your soul, you'll become more Christ-like, you'll enjoy more of God's presence, you'll have more peace, you'll be kept from much harm. You will prove the fact that godliness is profitable for the life that now is, as well as that which is to come. It's true. The world don't believe it, but it's true. Look at the mess the world's in, how unhappy the people of this world are. Godliness with contentment is great gain. There's a reward. And as you seek to cultivate the vineyard the Lord has given you, your family, your workplace, whatever, well, as you even serve Christ, that strengthens your faith. It increases your hope and your love. There's a blessing in serving Christ. And if you see people brought to faith, will that not give you joy and gladness now? Will you not find that as mutual benefit Paul could speak of these things? And you surely can also. And yet there's a future reward. We don't know much about rewards in heaven. But isn't it true that holiness fits you for the presence of Christ? And certainly none will lose out now or in heaven for service to Christ. Joy Paul could speak of. His joy and crown of rejoicing being the Thessalonian believers converted under his ministry. So Daniel can say that those who bring many to the Lord shall shine as the stars in the heavens. Whitfield was once asked if he would see Wesley in heaven. He said no. People might have wondered why, but he immediately told them why. He'll be so near the throne compared to me. There is blessing now. Blessing forever. Let us be diligent farmers then. Caring for all that God has given us, our soul, our family, our contacts. Let us be encouraged in this work for the labouring husbandman must be first partaker of the fruits. Let us pray.